You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Nationals reporter Jamal Collier, and we're taking a break from our breakdown of the Nationals roster to give you a quick spring training preview with some rapid-fire answers from Jamal to get you all set for the Nationals' first ever spring training in West Palm Beach. It should be a lot of fun starting out down there in a new facility, certainly less travel for Nationals players. I'm sure they're excited about that. The first question, though, of the day, Jamal, is what's going to be the biggest difference? And for this question, you can't say the ballpark because we'll get to that a little bit later. But as far as the team goes, what's the biggest difference 2017 spring training versus a year ago?
Yeah, easily the biggest difference for the Nationals this year is Adam Eaton. You know, they gave up the small ransom, small fortune, I should say, to get him. And, you know, he really is, how well he plays this season is going to go to a big, you know, going to play a major role as to what this team does this year. He's going to probably hit somewhere near the top of the order. He's going to play center field. And if he is the player they think he is, and that's a guy who's going to be consistently getting on base, who's worth about three or four or five wins above replacement, and is a perennial all-star and kind of just an underrated superstar in some aspect, then it's going to go a long way in transforming this lineup into just a really, really strong lineup from top to bottom.
All right, the next question is who might be a surprise in spring training? And I think what we're getting at here is maybe somebody who if you look at it on paper right now, doesn't even look like they have a spot on the 25-man roster or a spot in the rotation or something like that, that could really come forward, have a huge spring training, and make their way into it.
Yeah, this was tough because the Nationals really have kind of everything set. When you look at their, you know, so their starters are all kind of set. There's not a whole lot of position battles, even for the backups. They got a lot of guys on guaranteed contracts. But the guy I point to is probably a guy like A.J. Cole or Austin Voth. They're going to be probably the right now the number six and seven starters right now in this rotation. I think one of those guys is kind of set up to make this team as a long man out of the bullpen. And, of course, if you have an injury to the rotation, they could step right into the starting rotation as well. So Austin Voth is a guy I particularly like and think that he made huge strides over the last couple of years. He was invited to spring training last year. He got his first kind of taste of the big league experience in the spring. And I think with a strong spring for him, you could see him a guy who could maybe use that as a bullpen and as a sixth starter and a spot starter sometime to maybe relieve Strasburg or Joe Ross through the rotation. But I really like Austin Voth, and I think that he has a chance to make a huge impact and possibly make this team out of spring training.
Nationals are a team that has plenty of star power, but the biggest star has to be Bryce Harper, obviously coming off a disappointing season in 2016. So as we get ready for spring training 2017, what's up with Bryce? What can fans expect to see, and how important is the spring for him?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with Bryce Harper because obviously, you know, even whether or not he has a good spring or not, it really isn't going to tell us exactly what he's going to be able to do during the regular season. For Bryce, he's the most important player on this roster. He is, you know, one of the biggest stars in baseball, and he's a guy who's worked very hard all summer, or all winter, I should say, to kind of prepare himself to bounce back from the season that he had last year. That, of course, you know, was disappointing from the standards that he had set the year before. So, you know, really what to expect from Bryce, I've said it before that I think he's closer to the player we saw in 2015 than what we saw in 2016. I think the biggest thing for him is to stay healthy, to get himself prepared and to be ready to take off once the season starts in April, and kind of, you know, to continue to or get back to what he was a couple of years ago.
When you look at this team as a whole, there's obviously a viewpoint of what the fans like to see, and the players have a certain perspective of where they think the team is going. But from a grander scale, from the front office, when you look at this team where it's at right now, what's the vision as far as Mike Rizzo and company go?
Yeah, well, this is the kind of the delicate balance that everybody's trying to kind of get to, the Nationals especially, because you have on one hand a team who they're trying to improve this team to win 95 games, that's won the three division titles, that have been to the playoffs and not been able to get over the hump. But they want to do that without mortgaging too much of their future. Because the team that kind of has some guys signed up long-term, you look at the pitchers from Strasburg and Scherzer, and they think they can extend this window and be competitive here, not just for the next couple of years, but beyond that. But you also want to take advantage when you have guys in their primes right now. You have a guy like Bryce Harper. You have a guy like Daniel Murphy. You have Anthony Rendon kind of signed under value out of Eden. So they want to take advantage of these contracts and this core now and try to win a championship. But at the same time, they don't want to give up. They obviously give up a hefty price when they pay for Giolito and Lopez and some of those pitchers. But they don't want to give up their entire future necessarily just to win now and then have to kind of figure things out 5 years from now. So they're trying to win now. They're trying to be competitive and win a World Series championship. But at the same time, they still want to be a good team in 2019 and 20 and 21 and beyond.
When you look at this team, 2017, obviously the goal is to win that World Series. They're one of those teams that's in a group that has probably the roster, the potential that if things go right, they can be champions at the end of October. But what would a perfect season look like? Describe to us what the perfect national season looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the road there to that world championship is, you know, health from their starting pitchers, is getting 30, 35 starts out of Steven Strasburg, is keeping Max Scherzer at the level he has been at, you know, finally getting a chance to see what Joe Ross can be, and Tanner Roark continuing the steps forward that he took, a guy like Adam Eaton coming in and continue the consistency that he's had over the past couple of years, but bounce back seasons from Bryce Harper and Ryan Zimmerman. And even though they lost some guys necessarily like, Wilson Ramos and Danny Espinosa, some of those guys who hit home runs for them. But when you have a full season of Trey Turner, when you have Adam Eaton and a bounce back from Derek Norris and the bounce backs from those other guys, like I said, Harper and Zim, I think you put all those things together and it puts together a really strong lineup 1 through 8, and it puts together a strong rotation. And you obviously have someone emerge from close to emerge and take over the closer role as well that may not have any experience at this moment. So, all those things go right and all those things go together like the Nats are hoping, then they should be holding the trophy at the end of the season, which is kind of their ultimate goal.
When you look at the team, we mentioned Bryce Harper being the star of this team, but mm-hmm. Who's the most important player on this roster for 2017?
Yeah, it's tough because even without Bryce Harper last season, obviously they had Bryce Harper, not without Bryce Harper being the guy that, you know, we had kind of grown accustomed to, they still were really successful and really good. I still point to Bryce Harper because if this guy is what he was in 2015, it just completely changes the dynamic of the entire lineup. Because even with a guy like Murphy, if he's playing well, or you put a guy like, you know, Turner or Egan or those guys around him, he got on base so often and punished every single mistake and was so good that it really can just transform this team into one of the most feared lineups in all of baseball. It's already going to be a very good lineup, but if Bryce Harper is what everybody kind of believes him to be and what he's shown he can be, I still think he is one of the most important players on this team. So, again, everything kind of comes back to Bryce with the Nats, but I think Bryce is still the most important player here.
All right, final question to get people ready for spring training is, hey, it's a new home. You go from Vieira down to West Palm Beach. It's a shared facility along with the Houston Astros. By all accounts, it's spectacular, one of these brand new type places. So what can Nationals fans look forward to when they are visiting a new place if they're heading to Florida for spring training this year?
Yeah, I'm excited for this new ballpark. I'll say that. And I can definitely looking forward to obviously the shorter drive, shorter distance in between stadiums. It's going to be a state-of-the-art facility, and the people that have seen it, even talking to them earlier this week at Truck Day for the Nats, have said that it really kind of doesn't even feel like necessarily a spring training ballpark, as though it feels like kind of just a smaller, modern major league ballpark. So it's going to have, all the kind of the gadgets and the things for players and for fans and just a kind of a whole lot of things to look forward to. Still probably be putting the finishing touches on if you come out for workouts over those first couple of weeks. You may still have some construction or some things going on as they kind of, tidy the ballpark up. But you expect as the spring gets later and later, you'll kind of see it develop and kind of get finished here as a full, what they believe is going to be a state-of-the-art facility. I'm excited to see it for the first time as well here in a couple of weeks, or a week or so now.
Yeah, nothing against Vieira, but the Nationals were kind of all by themselves up there in the, on the east side, but far away from where the Mets and Cardinals and Marlins and other teams were. Now they're right in the thick of it. It's going to be a lot better, I think, for absolutely everybody. All right, great stuff, Jamal. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Nationals edition. For Jamal Collier, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time. Hey, everyone, Tim McMaster here with our MLB.com Mets reporter, Anthony DiComo. We're going to take a little break from our positional breakdowns as far as the Mets roster goes and give you a kind of a quick reset out there as the Mets get ready to head to Port St. Lucie for the beginning of spring training. Pitchers and catchers reporting very soon as we record this podcast. So I have 7 questions for you, Anthony, to kind of get everybody ready for spring training. We'll go through them one at a time. First question is, what's the difference? And what I mean by that is when you look back at this team a year ago heading into spring training and where it stands right now, what's going to be the big difference people see?
It's funny because you look at this Mets team on paper, you look at the roster, it's pretty identical 2017 from what it was in 2016. More than most teams, more than you see very often nowadays. So for the Mets to be better, what's the difference? It's got to be health of the rotation. That is what they're gunning for. That is what the Mets are counting on, is that Matt Harvey will be healthy. Jacob deGrom will be healthy. Noah Syndergaard will stay healthy, obviously. Steven Matz and all these guys that really struggled to stay on the field on the mound last year. The Mets need them to contribute. They need their top four starters to really stay on the field, give them 30 starts apiece, 30-plus starts apiece. And if the Mets do that, they know they have the talent in that group to be one of the best starting rotations in the game.
All right, the next question I think you can kind of take in a lot of different directions depending on where you want to go with it. But who might surprise us in this spring training and leading up to the season for the Mets?
It's a great question for this Mets team, because there aren't a lot of places where you can look at the roster and say, well, this guy stands to improve a great deal over what he did in 2016. But I think a name that people are forgetting about is Juan Lagares. This is a guy who, as recently as a couple of years ago, was a big part of the Mets' plans. And despite the fact that the Mets have a very crowded outfield heading into spring training, Juan Lagares is going to get his reps. He is that starter in center field when the Mets play a left-handed pitcher. He will come in a lot of games as a defensive replacement, as a base running replacement, as a potential pinch hitter late in games. And in that role, Juan Lagares still very much has a chance here entering his age 28 season to break out a little bit, to be more than just a bit role player and really be a force and kind of what the Mets were envisioning for him coming off that Gold Glove season a few years ago when they signed him to a five-year extension. So I think Juan Lagares definitely stands room to improve. Like so many Mets, he needs to stay healthy. But if he can do that, it could be a pleasant surprise for the Mets in 2017.
All right, the next question is, how is your star? And I guess when you look at the Mets, you could say that one of those starting pitchers is the star. But I guess the more obvious guy is Yoenis Cespedes, and back with the Mets. So how is Cespedes heading into spring training?
Yeah, with all due respect to Noah Syndergaard and Matt Harvey and all those guys, when Yoenis Cespedes shows up to spring training this year, it's going to be the biggest deal, much as it was last year. How is he? The Mets hope it's very much the same. This is another guy who had some nagging injury concerns last year, but he was by and large healthy. And when he was a force. He was one of the best offensive players in the game, a top 10 finisher and National League MVP. And there's no reason for the Mets to think he's going to be anything less than that in 2017. That's why they went out and signed him to the big four-year deal. And really, this is a guy who is one of the best hitters in baseball right now. He is in his prime. And while there are some persistent health questions around Yoenis Cespedes, the Mets really aren't thinking about those right now. They're thinking about one of the best players in the game with that star power to boot. And they have every reason to believe he's going to be their best hitter again in 2017.
Every team has a vision from the front office down, and I guess for the Mets, it's easy to see what the vision has been, and that has been to have a great young pitching staff and then score enough runs, I guess, to get them through. But now that staff has been together, is the vision changing at all?
I don't think it's changed. I don't think the vision for this Mets team has changed one bit, and it's easy to think that way, to see Yoenis Cespedes there and see what the Mets need out of David Wright, Lucas Duda, and that strong middle infield they have. But this is a team that still lives and dies by starting pitching. And if that rotation is healthy and productive, the Mets are going to be one of the best teams in baseball. There's just no getting around it. If that rotation is injured, if they have some issues there, if guys aren't consistent, then the Mets will be in trouble regardless of what their offense does. I think the team realizes it. I think they have built a team around that starting rotation. And, you know, these guys aren't getting any younger. Well, we still refer to them as those great young starting pitchers. A lot of them are getting to the back end of their 20s now at a time when it's more difficult to stay healthy. The window is still very much open, but we don't know how long it's going to be open for these starting pitchers. And the Mets are really leaning on that group to win now.
And that window is, of course, a championship, and that is the goal. And if you talk about a perfect Mets season, it ends with a championship trophy at the end. But what bigger picture, what does that perfect season look like? You know, what does it have to look like to get to that ultimate goal?
That's exactly it. I mean, a parade in Manhattan in the first week of November is the perfect season for this Mets team. And it sounds cliche, but this is the second year in a row where really you look at this Mets team and coming off that 2015 World Series run, which to a lot of people was a bit of a surprise at the time. People were looking out for the Mets in 2016. People will again be looking out for the Mets in 2017. And frankly, anything less than the playoffs would be a major disappointment for this Mets team. And again, the window does not stay open very long. The Mets want to win a World Series very badly. They want to do it with the current group of personnel that they have, and they feel that they can do it with these starting pitchers that they have, with the offense geared around Yoenis Cespedes in his prime and all these elements that they have put together. There's a reason why the Mets didn't change their roster very much from 2016 to 2017. They like what they have. They think they have a championship-caliber team, and that is the Mets' goal. That is the Mets' perfect season, is not just getting back to the World Series, but winning the whole thing this time.
There's not a lot of decisions to be made as far as this roster goes heading into spring training. As you've said, it's kind of, there's a lot of guys set on where they're going to be. But if you had to pick one maybe battle or question mark here heading into spring around that roster, what would it be?
The thing I'll be looking out for in spring training is the fifth starter. And we don't know for sure heading into spring training who it's going to be. There's been plenty of talk about Zach Wheeler, obviously, who is defaulting to that number five starting role, but he hasn't been in the league in a couple of years now, and we don't know how he'll perform. The Mets want to limit his innings. They've talked about him potentially in the bullpen. And then there's the factor of, well, hey, Robert Gsellman might just be better after that great second half he had really helping keep the Mets afloat down the stretch last year. And let's not forget also about Seth Lugo, who will be starting games in spring training. He also was really dynamite down the stretch in 2016. So I think between those three guys, only one of them can be the fifth starter. And it's going to be interesting to see who earns that role, who bounces to the bullpen, who perhaps even bounces all the way down to AAA Las Vegas, because the Mets just don't have room for all of these starting pitchers. It's a good problem to have. And I think the Mets are eager in particular to see how Wheeler looks out there coming off again, a very long, arduous Tommy John rehab process. But there's some stiff competition awaiting him in Robert Gsellman and Seth Lugo down there in Port St. Lucie.
And the final question is about just that, Port St. Lucie, Florida. And it's a little more crowded down in that portion of Florida now with the Nationals and Astros opening up shop in West Palm Beach. So just sum it up, for a fan who hasn't been down to Port St. Lucie to get out of the cold weather up here in New York City, what makes Port St. Lucie a special place for Mets fans?
Yeah, sunshine helps. You know,
beaches,
it's more
sunshine.
Crowded in general down there in Port St. Lucie, and it's because the Mets are winning it, and you really sense that, especially in the days before the games start, before the Grapefruit League games start. You see fans pouring out. The Mets set records last year with the number of fans who came down and showed up to Mets practices just to watch these guys work on their fundamental drills, work on throwing, work on batting practice and running and catching and all the boring stuff that players hate to do, but they do anyways because they have to. You know, it's a festive atmosphere when fans come out, and that hasn't always been the case around Port St. Lucie. During those lean years when the Mets were finishing in fourth place every year, you didn't get those big crowds at spring training. Well, they're back. They're back in force. People are happy to be down in Florida. They're happy to be in the sunshine. And they are very happy about this Mets team and the potential that it holds. So I think you get a lot of like-minded individuals together in one place, a lot of people pulling for the Mets, rooting for them, and really believing that this is a team that can do something special. It just makes for a festive atmosphere, a party atmosphere down there in Port St. Lucie, and it's just a fun place to be around.
And it certainly must make it easier for the players to grind through those days if they see all the fans and the excitement starting to build so early on in spring training. All right, great stuff as always. That sets you up for spring training, which is quickly approaching down in Port St. Lucie. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Mets edition. For Anthony DiComo, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week. Hey, everyone. Tim McMaster here with Joe Frisaro, our MLB.com Marlins reporter, as we're getting you ready for spring training, taking a little break from our roster breakdowns that we've been doing the last month or so on the podcast, and instead kind of doing a club reset, so to speak, heading into spring training. I have some questions. Joe, you have answers for them. We'll just go back and forth here and get people ready for spring training with pitchers and catchers reporting basically at the end of the week down in Jupiter, Florida. So question number one is, from the 2016 spring training to 2017 spring training for the Marlins, what's going to be the biggest difference?
Yeah, Tim, so much of what the Marlins have done this offseason stems from the passing of Jose Fernandez and how best to patch up the rotation, you know, with Jose's loss. And so the organization made a concerted effort to go out and get durable starters and try to get, you know, stiff competition. You know, they're not going to have true ones or twos, but they're hoping to have three, fours, and fives and guys that could give them as many innings, you know, 180-ish, if possible. And that kind of was the direction of their offseason when they addressed the starting pitching.
All right, so when you look at this team now, there's an idea of who's going to be in the different roster spots, obviously, but there's always young players or maybe even veterans on minor league deals that really have big springs and play themselves into the conversation. So who might surprise us at Marlins camp?
Yeah, the guy who I'm keeping a real close eye on is Jose Urania. Jose is out of options. He's been a guy who's homegrown. They got him, you know, as an amateur out of the Dominican Republic several years back. He's had big league time. His numbers weren't great last year in the big leagues, but he has potential to, you know, start or throw out the bullpen. And I think that the fact that he's out of options and the fact that he throws 95-plus and still has electric stuff and is just 25 years of age, I think the team's going to give him every chance to make this team, and I think they're even considering carrying extra elite relievers in hope that that happens.
All right, the star of the Marlins is obviously Giancarlo Stanton, from the contract to the power he can put up. So how is Giancarlo Stanton heading into 2017?
Giancarlo's role will be bigger than ever. I mean, you know, he is now the forefront. You know, he had Jose here the last couple of years. Yelich is a rising star. But this is Giancarlo's time. You know, he's missed substantial time throughout his career due to injuries. Played, I believe, 119 games last year. I think just 74 the year before. And, you know, they need him on the field. He, from all indications, is healthy. The groin injury that caused him to miss time in the second half is recovered to the point where he's even going to compete for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. But, you know, the Marlins clearly are looking for Stanton to stay on the field enough to be the superstar that they always envisioned he could be.
When you look at this franchise and its vision, obviously it's probably changed a little bit in the last year with the tragedy of Jose Fernandez, as far as the grand vision of how they're going to build this team into a World Series-type team. So what is the vision right now?
Well, the vision has kind of been that this still is Jose's team and this still is a core that can reach the next level. And obviously Jose isn't here to lead the rotation, but so many of those team, those players around this team have a chance to blossom. We're talking Real Muto, we're talking Yelich, you know, you got Dee Gordon, who was just an all-star 2 years ago, who, you know, clearly has the chance to be an impactful player. They have a lot of really good pieces and a good core, and it's just kind of the hope that another year, that maybe last year, you know, they got kind of a taste of it for 4 months when they were, you know, firmly in the wild card race, and that they are ready, you know, even without, you know, one of the most impactful starting pitchers in the game, to still have enough team to reach the next level.
So that's the vision. How about a perfect season? Some teams have a goal of a perfect season, winning a World Series title. I'm not sure that's in the cards for the 2017 Marlins, but what would a perfect season for this club look like?
A perfect season for this club obviously would be one of, you know, one of the teams that reaches the postseason. And, you know, I think health and, you know, they don't have the deepest organization, so they're going to need help. They're going to need guys to stay on the field, and they're going to need to see what this core can do when healthy and if everyone's clicking on all cylinders. So the perfect season would be that falls into place, and they're one of the participants that moves on into October.
All right, when you look at this roster and what it shapes up like in spring training, where's the biggest competition spot in the spring in Jupiter?
Well, you know, there's going to be competition for that fifth starter spot, and whether it's going to be Dan Straley or Jeff Block or maybe even Jose Urania. But I think there's also going to be fifth competition to see who the number one starter is. You know, Wei-Yin Chen, even though Jose was here last year, because of the innings limit, Chen got the nod on opening day, but he clearly had a down year. He was hurt, and, you know, they're needing, you know, Chen to be that guy. Adam Connolly is a, you know, highly talented in-house guy who missed time due to injury, and Edison Volquez is one of their biggest additions, you know, and he is going to fight for that top of the rotation spot as well. So I think who takes the ball on opening day, I think the competition for that is probably going to be, you know, at least the biggest headline. And obviously the fifth starter is going to be in play. But I would go with the, you know, to see who's going to be the emerge as the ace of the Marlins is going to be the most interesting competition in camp.
The Marlins' home in Florida for the next 6 weeks basically is Jupiter, Florida. It's a shared location with the St. Louis Cardinals. And I've always kind of liked the shared facilities where you have two teams working out as opposed to a single team. Joe, what makes Jupiter a special place for Marlins fans to go? A lot of teams, their fan bases are getting out of the cold to go to spring training. That's obviously not the case for the Marlins, who actually travel north to spring training.
Yeah, it's just, I believe, like 83 miles from Marlins Park to Roger Dean Stadium, their Jupiter home. It's just a great place for shopping. You got beaches there. You have a really beautiful area of the state that's not overly populated. And a lot of baseball players filter into there, plenty of restaurants. And I always thought it's a good, you know, when people come up for the weekend, they can catch a game, still go to the beach. They got a lot to do, you know, just an hour and a little bit more than an hour drive from Miami. And yeah, I think it's a tremendous home. And now the fact that you have two more teams in Palm Beach County, you know, with the Astros and the Nationals moving just about 7 or 8 miles away from where the Marlins and Cardinals are located, you've got four MLB teams up there. And that means a lot of games are going to be played in Palm Beach County, which is not that far of a ride from South, you know, Miami and Broward counties.
Yeah, that east side of Florida used to be kind of tough with a lot of travel with the Nationals way up north, but it's really coming together now as kind of a cool area as far as spring training goes. And obviously spring training always a little more laid back and fun as well. It'll be good in Jupiter. Roger Dean Stadium, also one of my favorites as far as the Florida ballparks go. All right, this has been...
And one more thing, Tim, if I could add. They're adding a little overhang at Roger Dean Stadium. So if you're sitting on either third base or first base side, you're going to have some covering. So from when that sun hits you, you know, like it did in the past, it might get a little too warm for you. Or if there's rain, the fans are going to have a little bit more comfort sitting there watching these games.
All right, that's great information. Get ready. It's coming soon. Games at Roger Dean Stadium. This has been MLB.com Extras. Our Marlins edition for Joe Frisaro. I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time. Hey, everyone. Tim McMaster and Mark Bowman here with you again for MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. Mark, of course, our MLB.com Braves reporter. And we're going to take a break from our roster breakdown to kind of do a full reset for spring training because it's about that time. Pitchers and catchers about to report down in spring training in around Orlando, I guess. We'll call it Orlando. I know it's, I think, Lake Buena Vista technically where the Braves spring training is. But so I have a series of questions, 7 of them to be exact, Mark, and we'll kind of go rapid fire through them to get people ready for spring training. First question is, what's the big difference here? 2016 to 2017, what is the change and the difference for spring training for the Braves?
I think there's no doubt it's stability and, you know, experience within the rotation. Last year, much of the optimism heading into this year was aimed towards what the team did during the second half of during the final 2 months, especially when they won 20 of their last 30 games, their rotation had a 5.19 ERA. Fortunately, their offense covered that. Now you add a Bartolo Colon, R.A. Dickey, and Jaime Garcia. You hope to have a little bit more stability than you got when you had Matt Whistler and Aaron Blair in there. And I think that if they get that, you know, these guys eat the innings in an effective manner like the Braves are hoping, this team certainly can compete for or at least contend to produce a winning record and possibly compete for a wild card spot. I think these guys have the potential to be the most significant difference makers because within that rotation, they set the tone for the game.
Who could surprise us this spring? Maybe somebody who's not expected to even be on the 25-man roster or not expected to be in a rotation or have a big role that could come out, have a great spring, and play their way in?
Well, you know, I think if we're just going to look at who could make the roster, I mean, Blaine Boyer and Emilio Bonifacio are the non-roster guys that we could be looking at. But let's go a little bit deeper. The guys that's really going to excite some fans in camp, especially those who may not have followed the prospect list all that closely. A.J. Minter, top left-handed reliever, who he put up incredible numbers last year while going through a moderated schedule during his first full pro season and first season back from Tommy John surgery. This is a guy that is going to draw a lot of attention in camp. Is there a chance he breaks with the team? Yes. I think it's much more likely that we see him closer to June, and I think he's a name that by the end of the season, you're penciling him in to be a key piece in this bullpen for many years to come.
All right. The Braves are a young team, obviously. So the question of what's going on with the big star on the Braves is interesting because maybe first you have to define who the star of the Braves is.
I don't think that's very difficult. You know, Freddie Freeman put up what he did last year coming back from the wrist injury. He erased all concerns about the wrist and proved that he's one of the game's top players. He finished third in National League WAR last year behind only
Seager and Chris Bryant, and he's right. When you put him up there, when you've got your Rizzos and your Goldschmidts, all your top young second or first baseman, he certainly ranks right there with them. And he's at, you know, 28 years old. You know, he won't be 28 until September, and he's, you know, entering the expensive part of his contract. But at the same time, when the Braves look back, they feel quite comfortable, based on what he did last year, that they're going to end up paying him, you know, $100 million over the next 5 years, because, you know, not only is he a definite difference maker, a legit cornerstone for the franchise, but he was certainly the right choice over Jason Hayward when they had to choose which guy they were going to give that big deal to a few years ago.
So, Mark, what's the vision of this team, not from a player perspective necessarily in the clubhouse, but front office looking big term or long term and big picture? What is the vision?
Well, I think they have to. They're excited about this year. There's reason to be optimistic. At the same time, I think any moves made this year, they have to walk that parallel line that they've been talking about the last 2 years, where, you know, you want to be competitive, you want to be successful, and now they do have a chance this year, but you don't want to, you know, tarnish everything else that you've done over the last few years. With that being said, you know, if the opportunity arises and the Chris Archer is available, you know, a guy that they can put in that rotation for a few more years, a controllable pitcher like that, I think that's one move that might make sense if they're into their prospect system. But I think that this is a year where, yes, they want to win, but at the same time, that there will be a lot of eyes down there with their prospects to see where they are, so that they understand not only where those prospects are, what their value might be in the trade market, but exactly how that roster, the big league roster, might look next year. They basically have to walk that fine line where you don't want to be overly aggressive just for success this year. You got to remember that you've been building for a few years for sustained success, and you've got to keep that as your focus.
For some teams, they're in a situation where it's World Series or disappointment, at least as far as the fan base is concerned. But this Braves team isn't in that spot yet. Obviously, they're in the rebuild. So if you had to describe the perfect 2017 season, what would it look like?
Well, I think the perfect 2017 season is the Nationals bullpen proves to be as bad as people hope. The Mets starters battle some health issues again, and the Braves are right there in contention to win the division at the end. But you know, I think the most realistic expectation is, you know, yeah, this team can definitely can produce a winning record. And once you get to that point, then you're just you know, usually a few wins away from wild card contention. Can this team, you know, grab one of the two wild cards? Sure. And I think that's probably the most realistic, optimistic way to look at this season. You know, can they compete for a division? A lot of things have to go right, not only in Atlanta, but outside of Atlanta. But this team is certainly strong enough to compete for a wild card.
What will be the most interesting spot in spring training as far as competition for a position goes?
You know, I think the bullpen is very interesting. There are a lot of candidates there. We're going to have to see how healthy Aroldis Vizcaino is, Mauricio Cabrera and Jose Ramirez. We're going to have to see what their command, you know, are they able to build on the improvements they made in that department last year. Paco Rodriguez could be a very key piece. We haven't seen him pitch in over 2 years because of his elbow, but he stands as the one guy that they could use as a lefty specialist. So I think that an opening day roster spot's there for the taking. You know, we spoke about, you know, how are they going to handle this bench and that bullpen. They say they're going to go with an 8-man pen. That's fine, but does that affect their bench? You know, having that legitimate hitter on the bench to be able to turn to, you know, on a nightly basis, because in the National League, you're going to have to pinch hit. So for right now, the versatility reigns on their bench, but it will be interesting to see if the developments of spring training alter their mindset and they decide to carry more of a bat or carry at least one bat right there on their bench to serve as a primary pinch hitter.
And then finally, when you talk about spring training locations, a lot of the teams down in Florida, Mark, are located near a beach. That is not the case for the Braves. Instead, they're located right there at Disney World, which brings its own different level of entertainment, obviously, for anybody who wants to make the trip. And there's obviously tons of options as far as food and all that kind of thing. So, you know, what makes spring training for the Braves down there in Orlando a special thing?
You know, I think that for families, it is a nice getaway. It's not only do you have all the entertainment options that Disney provides, like you said, you have plenty of dining options around this, you know, their parks. But at the same time, I think it's nice that it's so close to so many of the Braves fans. You know, you have a strong fan base there in Florida, but it's also just 6 hours from Atlanta. So I think that makes it nice that, you know, fans can drive down there for a weekend, leave on a Thursday night, come back on Sunday night, make a full weekend of it. You know, they're certainly looking forward to the possibility of moving down there to Northport in a few years, but a more modernized facility and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, Disney has provided some benefits in terms of, especially from the location, how close it is to so many Braves fans.
All right, great stuff. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. For Mark Bowman, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time. Hey, everyone, this is MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. Tim McMaster here along with Todd Zalecki, our MLB.com Phillies reporter, as we are going to take a break from our roster breakdown to really get you ready for spring training, which is quickly approaching. Pitchers and catchers meeting up at the end of the week, basically, down in Clearwater for the Phillies. So we have some quick-fire question and answers for Todd to get you ready for spring. And, Todd, the first question is, what's the difference, 2017 versus 2016? When you think of what's going to be going down in Clearwater, what's the biggest difference for this Phillies team?
You know, I think the biggest difference is experience. And what I mean by that is the Phillies, they acquired some veterans in the offseason, Michael Saunders, Howie Kendrick, Clay Buchholz, Joaquin Benoit. But when you talk to the Phillies front office and you talk to his manager, Pete Maccannon, they think experience is going to kind of set them apart from last year, that if they're going to make improvements, it's going to be because these younger players took the experience that they gained from last year in years prior and to take another step forward. You know, you talk about somebody like Michael Franco at 25 home runs, but he had a 733 OPS. You know, a guy like Freddie Galvis who had 20 home runs, but had an MLB worst, 274 on base percentage. A guy like Tommy Joseph, who had 21 home runs in limited action, kind of platooning at first base with Ryan Howard. You know, can he take a step forward with what he learned last year and do that over the course of an entire season? Same thing with the pitching staff, Vince Velasquez, Aaron Nola, Jared Eichhoff, the bullpen, Adubé Ramos, Hector Neris. The Phillies think that they can be a better team. You know, Pete Maccannon talked about being a potentially 500 team this year. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen because those young guys, not necessarily the veterans that they brought in, because those young guys learn from what they've done in the past and make some incremental improvements in 2017.
All right. The next question is, who's going to surprise in spring training? And basically, I think the question here is, when you look at this roster and what you think at this point will happen throughout the spring and how this roster will shape up, who's somebody who could kind of come out of nowhere or come from behind the scenes and pop up and really make a difference and put themselves into consideration during the spring?
Well, you know, you talk about a surprise player for the Phillies in spring training. There's not a guy that really truly jumps out at me. So this is, I don't know if this is a cop-out or not, but I'm going to say Tommy Joseph. And here's why I say that. Tommy Joseph put up some pretty decent numbers last season, some really good numbers, actually, as a part-time first baseman. Now the pressure builds for him. Now the focus kind of crystallizes on, you know, upon him in terms of, can he be an everyday player? He had 21 home runs last year and like 370 plate appearances. Can Tommy Joseph, now that he is the man at first base, and he is the man at first base, can he become an everyday player? You know, Charlie Manuel has said for years, it takes a special guy to be an everyday player, to go out there every day and produce. The pressure is turned up on Tommy Joseph. If he can do what he did last year over a course of a six-month season or even improve upon that, wow, suddenly the Phillies have a very nice surprise on their hands, and they don't have to look for a first baseman, you know, in the off season, or, you know, they don't necessarily have to be praying that, you know, Rhys Hoskins continues to develop, because they have found an everyday guy in Tommy Joseph.
All right, the next question is an interesting one from a Phillies perspective. The question is, how's your star? And I guess you got to start this one off with, who's the star of this Phillies team in 2017, Todd?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I think if I'm going to take a star, I guess you would think maybe, well, is it Odubel Herrera, because he was the Phillies' only All-Star last year. But I think the star on this team remains Mike Alfonso, even though he you know, he had 25 home runs last year, 88 RBIs, but a 733 OPS, which is not a very good number for a corner infielder, especially for a third baseman. But I think he still has star potential. He has all-star caliber potential. This is going to be a big season for him. You know, the Phillies have pointed out a few times that, you know, this is last year was his first full big league season, his age 24 season, I believe, age 23, age 24 season. So he's still a young, inexperienced player. The Phillies are going to be counting on him as their star of the future to really take a big step forward in 2017. I'm talking 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, an OPS of at least 800. I mean, it has to be over the 800 mark in terms of, you know, slugging and on-base percentage. If he does that, then I think the Phillies are going to feel really good about their lineup going forward because, you know, ever since last season, they've looked at him as, okay, Michael Franco, for now and in the future, he's going to be our 3-4-5 hitter. So he needs to really step up this year to prove that he deserves to be in the future the 3-4-5 hitter.
Obviously, this team is in a building mode. So just to kind of explain the vision of the front office, Matt Klentak and company, as they depart on the 2017 season.
The vision is pretty clear. They have a pretty good plan in place, and that is this. Continue to develop their younger players, whether it be at the big league level or in the minor league levels, and maintain as much roster flexibility and financial flexibility as possible for the future. It's no coincidence that the Phillies, every player that they acquired this offseason or re-signed this offseason, from Jeremy Hellickson to Clay Buchholz to Michael Saunders, Howie Kendrick, Joaquin Benoit, Pat Neshek, Andres Blanco, every single one of these players is going to be a free agent after this season. And that is absolutely 100% by design, because they want to be able to shuffle players in and out over the course of the season. In other words, if Zach Eflin or Jake Thompson or Alec Asher or whomever in AAA is pitching incredibly well and Clay Buchholz is not, they want to have the flexibility to move one of those pitchers into the rotation. Same thing with the lineup, same thing with the bullpen. And it also gives them flexibility to trade some of those veteran players come July 31st if the team is not in contention. And most importantly, it gives them a boatload of cash to spend beginning next offseason, which I expect them to start to do. If not this offseason, if they don't land anybody big, certainly two offseasons from now when Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, potentially Clayton Kershaw and others hit the free agent market. The Phillies are building towards spending some serious cash in the upcoming offseasons and acquiring some major talent in the upcoming offseasons. And while they're planning on doing that, they're hoping that enough of these young prospects get enough playing time, get enough experience to kind of fill out the rest of to fill out the majority of the roster, I should say.
For some teams, the perfect season means hoisting the trophy at the end of October as a World Series champion. That's unrealistic for this group as far as the Phillies go in 2017. So what would a perfect 2017 season look like?
You know, I think a perfect season for the Phillies in 2017 would be all these young players take the step forward, kind of live up to their potential. The veteran players that they have in on one-year deals do what they're supposed to do. And the Phillies somehow, some way, surprise the baseball world. And in late July, find themselves at 500, near 500, maybe a game or two over 500, and unexpectedly in the thick of the wild card race. And this team actually ends up playing meaningful baseball games in August and September. Not to say that they are going to win a wild card spot, but I think for a young team like this, if they actually find themselves playing some meaningful baseball games, I think this organization will be absolutely thrilled, and it will give ownership an even bigger desire to be aggressive in the offseason and offseasons to come in terms of building up this rotation and making sure that going into 2018, people aren't saying, well, maybe this can be the year that they get back to the postseason. The expectation will suddenly become, this is the year the Phillies get back to the postseason.
When you look at this roster as a whole, we talked about who maybe the stars are of this team, and that's certainly up for debate to some degree. But a different way of looking at a roster and how it can be successful isn't who's the star, but who's the most important guy? Who does kind of the 2017 season lean on the most, other than maybe the big star?
You know, the one player that comes to mind immediately is Aaron Nola. And I mention him because I think of all the young pitchers the Phillies have in their system, from the ones that spent the entire year in the big leagues last year, like Ike Hoff and Vince Velasquez, from the prospects like Thompson and Eflin and Asher and Ben Lively, et cetera, et cetera. I think if you talk to most scouts, they will say that Aaron Nola is the best overall pitcher of that group. And I think that he's the most important because he finished last season on the disabled list with a right elbow injury, and he really struggled in his starts leading up to that injury. So if Aaron Nola bounces back from that injury and pitches like he did the first half of last season and when he first got called up a couple of years ago, I think the Phillies are going to be really excited about their rotation going forward. Now, if he struggles, then things get a little bit shakier. So that's why I think Aaron Nola is very, very important this season. He's a critical part of this team, and his performance is going to be very, very closely watched because they have really high expectations for him. Nobody really expects him to be a Clayton Kershaw or Max Scherzer type guy, but he can be a pretty solid number two, number three starter, and you have to have those guys that you can roll out there every 5 days and know you can give you quality innings to give you a chance to win, and that's why I think Aaron Nola is critical and important player on this roster.
The Phillies have called Clearwater, Florida, their spring training home for some time now, and the ballpark that was not that long ago, one of the nice brand-new ballparks, isn't brand-new anymore, but it's still one of the best facilities down there in Florida as far as the Grapefruit League goes. What makes Clearwater a special place for Phillies fans to escape the cold of eastern Pennsylvania and go down to Florida for a week or whatever it is in the spring?
You know, I personally think that Clearwater, of all the Florida locations, I guess, Fort Lauderdale could be in there or whatever, but I really feel that Clearwater is the best spring training locale of any major league team that's down there. It's just a tremendous location. The beaches are fantastic. It's just a great place to be. Good restaurants down on Clearwater Beach. I always tell people, that I'll talk to them in the off season. They'll say, "Oh man, you excited to go to spring training? I got to get down there. I've always wanted to get down there." And I say, "You absolutely should get down there." And there's something fun about being in a different location and seeing people, all sorts of people from where you are in the same place at the same time. You're walking down at the beach at night and you see everybody wearing Phillies jerseys and Phillies caps and Phillies t-shirts. But like I said, besides the baseball and besides the ballpark, which I also think is one of the best, if not the best, spring training ballpark in Florida, the restaurants down the beach are great. The atmosphere down there is fantastic. The beaches are fantastic. If you play golf, there's really good golf courses in the area. It's really kind of a perfect vacation, and it's so relaxed. Every spring I try to give people restaurant recommendations, because people are always asking. But it is a great place to be, and anybody that has not had the opportunity to get to Clearwater for, a weekend or a week, I strongly suggest they put it on their bucket list because it's a fantastic time.
Great stuff, and it all begins very soon down in Clearwater, Florida. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zielecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.